الحمد لله رب العالمين، له النعمة وله الفضل وله الثناء الحسن، وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. الله أسأل أن ييسر لنا سبل الخير. كنا نتكلم عن معاصي اللسان، وهي كما قلنا أكثر المعاصي التي تحصل من الإنسان تحصل من لسانه. نكمل الآن الكلام في هذا الباب إن شاء الله تعالى. As we said previously, as the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said that most of the sins that occur are sins of the tongue. We were talking in the previous session about sins of the tongue. Inshallah, we will continue talking about this topic. قال المؤلف رحمه الله: والنذر بقصد حرمان الوارث. The author said to utter a vow, nadhr, with the purpose of depriving the inheritor. شرح ذلك أن من نذر، أن الإنسان أحيانا قد ينذر مالا لشخص ويكون مراده بذلك حرمان الوارث. مثلا شخص عنده نفور، قلبه نفر من بعض من يرثه. لو فرضنا واحد قلبه نفر من أولاده، لا يريد أن يورثهم، فالذي يفعله أنه ينذر ماله مثلا لإنسان آخر، حتى إذا مات يأتي هذا الإنسان فيطالب بالمال، يقول أنا هذا لي، نذره لي وعندي شهود. النذر الذي نذره هذا الشخص لهذا الإنسان، نذره حتى يحرم الوارث، نيته كانت لأجل حرمان الوارث. هذا النذر حرام، عليه معصية به. وإن علم أنه نذر لأجل حرمان الوارث، يعلم أن هذا النذر ما وقع، النذر لا يصح، هذا النذر لا يصح. إذا كانت نيته حرمان الوارث لا يكون صح النذر. Sometimes a person feel how do I say it? Feel displeased with his inheritors, the people that inherits him if he dies. For example, someone feels displeased with his children. So he thinks, I do not want them to inherit me. So what he does is that he makes a vow, another, to someone else other than them. To give that person, he makes the vow for that person to get his belongings, with the intention, his intention is to deprive the inheritors from getting the inheritance. He does that so if he dies, this man or this person comes and says, these belongings are mine. And I have witnesses that witness that so and so made them as a vow for me. So they are mine. Such a vow is a sin. It is not valid, of course, and it is sinful. Because the intention was to deprive the inheritors. On the other hand, if someone wants to do a good thing, he wants to reward a person who did something good to him, or for another reason, he gives all his belongings to a stranger, not with the intention of depriving the inheritors, no, not for that, then it is permissible. أما لو أعطى شخص ماله كله حتى لو كل ماله أعطاه لإنسان غير الورثة لا بنية حرمانهم ليس لأجل أن يحرمهم إنما حتى يكافئه على شيء عمله أو لغير ذلك يجوز ليس حراما إنما المحرم أن يفعل ذلك لأجل أن يحرم الوارث. قال المؤلف وترك الوصية بدين أو عين لا يعلمهما غيره. The author said to neglect leaving a will which states one's debts to or trusts for others, about which no one other than oneself knows. يعني إذا كان لشخص دين عند آخر ولم يكن أحد يعلم بهذا الدين وخاف الشخص أنه إذا مات المدين لا يحصل ماله لا يحصل حقه أو كان شخص عنده أمانة وخاف أنه إذا مات هذه الأمانة لا تصل إلى صاحبها الوارث يأكلها ولا يوجد من يشهد على ذلك عند ذلك لا بد أن يوصي لا بد أن يخبر أن هذه أمانة لفلان عندي أو أن فلانا له علي من الدين كذا حتى يصل الحق إلى صاحبه ولو أشهد شخصا واحدا عدلا يكفي ولو بإشهاد عدل واحد غير الوارث If someone is trusted for something or he owes someone else some money and he is worried that if he dies this trust would not be given to its owner or the debt is not going to be paid to the one who deserves to the lender because no one knows about this matter except himself In this case, he has to make a will. It does not mean that he has to write a paper and notarize it. At least he needs to tell someone, he is obligated to tell someone, an upright, trustworthy person, at least one, about this matter, other than his inheritor. At least one to feel safe, if you want, on that side, that he is trying, he did, how do I say it? You might say to ensure that the person who deserves the debt or the trust will get it. أما لو كان هناك غيره يعلم بهذا الدين أو بهذه الأمانة فهنا يندب له أن يوصي ولا يجب. If there are other people who know about the debt or this trust, then it is recommended to make a will about that, and it is not an obligation. وعندما نقول الدين هذا يشمل دين الله عز وجل كالزكاة. And when we are talking about a debt, الزكاة is included, which means if he did not pay الزكاة, although الزكاة was due on him, so paying it becomes a debt on his part, then also he needs to tell someone to make a will about it. This amount of my money needs to be paid as zakah. If I die before I pay it, I pay it. قال المؤلف والانتماء إلى غير أبيه أو إلى غير مواليه أي من أعتقه كأن يقول أنا أعتقني فلان ويسمي غير الذي أعتقه. The author said to attribute oneself to other than one's own father or liberator, such as to say, so and so liberated me, naming other than one's own liberator. من معاصي اللسان التي هي من الكبائر انتماء الشخص إلى غير أبيه. It is an enormous sin for someone to claim that his father is other than his true father. It is an enormous sin to claim that his father is so and so, although he knows that his father is someone else. This is an enormous sin. كذلك العبد الذي أعتق إذا انتمى إلى غير مواليه, يعني إذا قال أنا مولى فلان, أعتقني فلان, وذكر إنسانا غير الذي أعتقه حقيقة. Likewise, it is an enormous sin if the liberated slave claims that the one who liberated him is so and so, while he knows that he is not the one who did that. لأن هذا يؤدي إلى تضييع الحقوق. Doing this leads to lose certain rights. هناك أشياء مثلا البنت من يزوجها؟ أبوها. فإذا ادعت أن أباها غير من هو في الحقيقة أبوها، يؤدي هذا إلى أن يزوجها من لا يصح أن يزوجها، وأن يرثها من لا يصح أن يرثها، وأن ترث من لا يصح أن ترثها، إلى آخره. For example, the girl, the one who marries her, gives her in marriage, is her father. So if she claims that her father is so and so while he is not, then this leads to a situation where other than her father gives her in marriage while he is not entitled to do so. It leads to a situation where other than her father inherits her, for example, while he is not entitled to do so. For her to inherit someone whom she is not entitled to inherit, etc. كذلك العبد المعتق إن لم يكن له، إن مات كل عصباته، إن مات من يرثه، يرثه عند ذلك الذي أعتقه. فإن ادعى أن المعتق واحد آخر، يؤدي هذا أحيانا إلى أن يرثه غير الذي يستحق أن يرثه. Likewise for the liberated slave. You know that the ex-slave, if he or she does not have any relatives to inherit him or her, then the one who liberated him or her inherits this slave if the slave dies. By claiming that the liberator is someone else, this slave would be depriving the true liberator from what he deserves if he is the inheritor of that slave, in the case where he or she is the inheritor of that slave. Also, other religious judgments are related to this issue. So it is haram for one to claim that his father is someone other than his true father, or that his liberator is someone other than his true liberator. لذلك قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام: من ادعى إلى غير أبيه فعليه لعنة الله. This is why the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said that the one who claims that his father is other than his true father is damned by Allah. رواه ابن ماجه وغيره. This hadith is narrated by Ibn Majah and others. قال المؤلف والخطبة على خطبة أخيه. The author said to propose to a woman after she is already engaged to another Muslim. من معاصي اللسان أن يخطب الرجل على خطبة أخيه. أن يخطب الرجل على خطبة أخيه. This aforementioned matter is among the sins of the tongue. واحد خطب امرأة طلبها ممن تعتبر إجابته. إذا كان أبوها هو الذي تعتبر إجابته أو جدها أو نحو ذلك طلبها للزواج خطبها ممن تعتبر إجابته وهذا الشخص الذي تعتبر إجابته وافق له من عرف بذلك لا يجوز له أن يخطب على خطبته أن يقول اتركوا فلانا وأخطبوني ابنتكم لي أنا أدفع مهرا أكبر أنا أرضيها بشيء أكثر أنا إلى آخره هذا حرام. If someone asks to marry a woman and her father accepts, when the acceptance of the father is what counts, or her grandfather when his acceptance is what counts, etc. So if this takes place like that, and after this someone else comes and talks to her family to breach the engagement with that person for him to be engaged with her. For example, he addresses her, he tells her, I will give you more money, I have this and that, you will be much more happy with me, whatever. This is haram. لأن هذا فيه إيذاء للأول. Because this hurts the first one, the first Muslim. إلا أن يأذن له فلا يحرم. Except if he takes permission from him, tells him, do you accept that I go and propose myself? If he says yes, go ahead. If he says yes, then it is not haram for the second one to do that. Who asks what? We are talking after he already had proposed and they accepted, isn't it? How would the other one know that he is shy? But still, I'll ask, inshallah. So what were we saying? فَإِذَنْ إِلَّا أَنْ يَأْذَنَ الْأَوَّلْ هَذَا حَرَامْ إِلَّا أَنْ يَأْذَنَ الْأَوَّلْ أَوْ يُعْرِضْ أَوْ الْأَوَّلْ يَتْرُكْ مَا عَادَ يُرِيدْ. So it is prohibited to do that except with the permission of the first one or if the first one does not breach this engagement, then someone else can propose himself. Can propose. No, if the first one breaches the engagement. قال المؤلف رحمه الله والفتوى بغير علم. The author said to give an Islamic legal judgment, fatwa, without knowledge. Talking about the matters of religion without knowledge is sinful. حرام أن يتكلم الشخص في أمور الدين بغير علم. إذا أفتى بغير علم وقع في الإثم الكبير, في الذنب الكبير. If he gives fatwa without knowledge, then he is committing an enormous sin. الله تعالى قال ولا تقف ما ليس لك به علم, معناه لا تتكلم بغير علم. ولا تقف ما ليس لك به علم, معناه لا تتكلم بغير علم. In سورة الإسراء الله تعالى said ولا تقف ما ليس لك به علم, which means do not talk without knowledge. الشخص إذا كان مجتهدا يتكلم في مسائل الدين بحسب اجتهاده. If one is a mujtahid, he gives the fatwa according to his own ijtihad. وهذه أي رتبة الاجتهاد لا يصل إليها إلا النادر إلا النادر النادر من الناس إلا النادر النادر من الناس. And this level of ijtihad, only very few people reached it. حتى إنه قيل بين الصحابة لم يكن من المجتهدين إلا عشرة. To a point that some scholars said, even among the companions, those who reached the level of ijtihad were only 10. And some scholars said more. So you get an idea. It's not something easy. رتبة الاجتهاد يعني أن يصل إلى مثل حال الشافعي ومالك وأبي حنيفة وأحمد رضوان الله عليهم. Reaching the level of اجتهاد means to reach the level of الإمام أبي حنيفة, الإمام مالك, الإمام الشافعي, الإمام أحمد and the like. And this is something that only very few people do. أما إن لم يكن الشخص مجتهدا فإنما يفتي تبعا للمجتهد. If one is not a mujtahid, he answers about the religious questions according to what the mujtahid said. He follows a mujtahid in that. إما يكون المجتهد نص على المسألة وإما يكون أتباعه الكبار من أهل مذهبه, أكابر أهل المذهب, استنبطوا من أقوال المجتهد حكم هذه المسألة. Either the mujtahid himself mentioned explicitly the answer of this question or the judgment of this case, or the high scholars, the top scholars of his school, deduced from the sayings of the mujtahid the judgment of this case. فلو أفتى بخلاف ذلك لو تكلم أجاب ذكر حكم مسألة شرعية على غير الطريق الذي ذكرناه فقد أفتى بغير علم. If one gives a judgment pertaining to a religious matter, a religious case, in a way other than the way that we mentioned, then this person would be giving fatwa without knowledge and committing an enormous sin by that. حَتَّى لَوْ وَافَقَتِ الْفَتْوَى شَرْعَ اللَّهِ. Even if his answer, if what he says is in compliance with the religious rules, because he dared to talk about that without knowledge. وَيَنْبَغِي أَلَّا يُغْفِلَ الْإِنسَانِ كَلِمَةَ لَا أَدْرِي فِي مَوْضِعِهَا. It is a good thing for one not to avoid saying, I do not know, when one should say, I do not know. الإمام مالك مرة سئل عن ثمان وأربعين مسألة. Once Al-Imam Malik was asked 48 questions. أجاب فقط عن ستة منها والبقية قال لا أدري. He answered only 6 of those 48 questions. And all the rest he answered by I do not know. For all the rest. نعم هو لو فكر وبذل الجهد وأخذ الوقت لكان وصل إلى الجواب لأنه متهيئ للاجتهاد عنده أدوات الاجتهاد لكن في ذلك الوقت ما كان عنده الجواب فقال لا أدري. Yes, if he thought thoroughly about those cases, he could give an answer. If he took his time and thought about those cases, he could give answers for all of them, because he has the ability for ijtihad. But at the time when he was asked, he was not at that situation. At that time, he did not know. He said, I do not know. Subhanallah. Once a man came to him. He asked him a question. Al-Imam Malik said, I do not know. He told him, wow. Now if I go back to my relatives, to my town, to my people, what do I tell them? I traveled all this distance. And you tell me, I do not know. Malik said, you go to them and you tell them, I asked Malik and he said, I don't know. That's it. I don't know. Subhanallah. Sayyiduna Ali قال, وبردها على كبدي لا أدري حين لا أدري. Al-Imam Ali said, it is very relaxing for me to say I do not know when I do not know. It's easy for me and relaxing to say I do not know when I do not know. بعض الناس إذا كان يتكلم إذا سئل يستحي أن يقول لا أدري في موضعها. Some people, they do not want to say I do not know. When they really do not know. هذا خطر. This is dangerous, very dangerous. Very dangerous. As a khatar ala shakhs nafsihi wa ala ghayrihi. This is dangerous for the person himself and for others. Not to say I don't know when one does not know. إذا أغفل العالم لا أدري أصيبت مقاتله. هكذا قال محمد بن عجلان رحمه الله. روى الشافعي عن مالك عن محمد بن عجلان أنه قال إذا أغفل العالم لا أدري أصيبت مقاتله. At the time of Al-Imam Malik, there was a knowledgeable, pious person called Muhammad ibn Ajlan. He said, if the scholar ignores, if he does not want to say, I do not know, then as if he is... As if he is hit on his fatal spots. As if he is hit on his fatal stops, spots. قال المؤلف وتعليم وتعلم علم مضر لغير سبب شرعي. The author said, to teach or to seek harmful knowledge without an Islamically valid reason. العلم المضر مثل علم السحر. A harmful knowledge is like sorcery, for example. مثل علم الحرف الذي يقصد منه استخراج الأمور التي تحصل في المستقبل أو معرفة الأمور الخفية. سرق لي مال، من سرقه؟ ضاع لي كذا، أين هو؟ وهكذا بواسطة شيء يسمونه علم الحرف، يسمونه علم الحرف. مثل هذا العلم علم مضر. Examples of harmful knowledge, kinds of knowledge, is as I said, sorcery, and what some people do based on some words and letters. Someone comes to them, they tell him, in the future this and this will happen to you, this and this will happen to you. Or if he lost something, he comes to them and they tell him, you'll find it this way, or so and so took it from you, etc., stole it. This kind, these types of knowledge, it is haram for one to teach them and to learn them. مثل هذه العلوم يحرم تعليمها وتعلمها. مثل علم التنجيم أيضا. Like astrology. It is prohibited to teach it and to learn it. حرام تعلمه وتعليمه. إلا لعذر, except if there is a reason. عذر معتبر شرعا. A reason observed by the rules of the religion. كما فعل الملكان هاروت وماروت. Like the two angels هاروت and ماروت did. علم الناس السحر حتى يفرق الناس بين السحر والمعجزة. They taught the people about sorcery so the people could differentiate between sorcery and the miracle. إن كان لعذر شرعي يجوز وإلا فحرام. So it is only permissible to teach this type of knowledge and learn it for a religious excuse. Other than that, it is prohibited. قال المؤلف والحكم بغير حكم الله. The author said, to judge by other than the law of Allah Ta'ala. يعني أن من معاصي اللسان أن يحكم الشخص بغير ما أنزل الله, بغير الحكم الذي أنزله الله. It is haram, it is prohibited for someone to judge, to rule according to other than the rules of revealed by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. فَإِذَا حَكَمَ الشَّخْصُ بِغَيْرِ حُكْمِ اللَّهِ أَثِمْ. So if someone judges by other than the rules revealed by Allah, this person is sinful. وَهُنَا حَالًا. Here there are two cases. قَدْ يَحْكُمُ الشَّخْصُ بِغَيْرِ حُكْمِ اللَّهِ لأنه لا يعتبر هذه الأحكام, هذه الأحكام ما لها اعتبار عنده, هذا كفر. The first case is that someone might judge, that someone would judge by other than the rules of Allah because he does not observe the religious rules at all. This is blasphemy. They have no value for him. This is blasphemy. الحال الثانية أن يحكم بغير حكم الشرع ليس لأنه لا يعتقد أن حكم الشرع حق, لا يعتقد أنه حق, لكن لرشوة أو قرابة أو غير ذلك. The other case is for someone to rule, to judge by other than the religious rules, not because he does not believe in them. No, he does. But for a bribe, because of a bribe, because of kinship, a relation of kinship, or the like. In this case, this person does not blaspheme, but he is committing a sin. في هذه الحال لا يكفر, لكنه واقع في الإثم. هنا يحسن الإشارة إلى شيء, وهو أن بعض الناس تجاوزوا الحد الشرعي في هذه المسألة, فاعتبروا أن من يحكم بغير حكم الشريعة ولو في مسألة واحدة قالوا هذا اعتدى على ألوهية الله, ولو كان يقر أن حكم الشريعة هو الصحيح قالوا هذا اعتدى على ألوهية الله, هكذا عبروا, قالوا فكفر هو ومن يساعده ويعينه ويسكت عنه ولا يغير عليه. Some people said that if someone judges by other than the rules of Allah, that this person by that is negating the oneness, the godhood of Allah. Even if this person believes that the rules revealed by Allah are truthful. These people said that if anyone judges by other than the rules of Allah, even in one case, that such person becomes a blasphemer, and everyone who helps him in that is a blasphemer, and those who keep silent in this case and do not object to him and change the situation and prevent him from doing that, all of them are blasphemers. وهذا غير صحيح. Of course this is not correct. بل ذهب هؤلاء إلى أبعد من هذا. Those people went farther even. قالوا الحاكم إذا حكم بغير حكم الشرع ولو في مسألة صار كافرا والرعية إذا لم يثوروا عليه صاروا كلهم كفارا. They said the ruler, if the ruler rules even in one case with other than the Islamic rules, this ruler blasphemes by that, and all the subjects blaspheme also if they do not revolt against this ruler. قالوا هذا الحاكم دمه حلال والرعية أيضا دمهم حلال. These people said it is permissible then to kill the ruler and it is permissible to kill the subjects. أول من قال مثل هذه الكلمة في عصرنا هذا رجل مصري يقال له سيد قطب. The first one who said a similar statement nowadays is an Egyptian man called سيد قطب. هذا الرجل كان في حزب الإخوان ثم طلع بهذه المقالة. This man was a member of a party called حزب الإخوان, party of brotherhood, and he came up with this statement. كان أولا عنده ميل إلى كان أولا ملحدا مائلا إلى كلام الشيوعية وأمثالهم. First he was an atheist leaning towards the ideology of communism and the like. ثم فجأة صار يكتب عن الإسلام يتكلم كأنه عالم. And then suddenly he started talking about Islam, writing about Islam as if he was a scholar. ثم التحق بهذا الحزب, انتسب إلى هذا الحزب. Then he became a member of this party. ثم صار قائدا فيهم. Later he became one of the leaders. وجرهم معه إلى هذه العقيدة, and he dragged them to this bad belief. أتباعه منذ ذلك الوقت إلى أيامنا كل مدة يقتلون ويفجرون ولا يبالون من الذي يقتل, لأن هؤلاء كلهم عندهم دمهم مهدور. The followers of this ideology, since the time of Sayyid Qutb up till now, every while they kill, they put explosions and the like, without even care who is going to be killed by those explosions, etc. Because they believe that it is lawful to shed all this blood. ما حصل من مجازر في الجزائر وفي مصر وفي غيرهما من البلاد هو من فعل هذه الجماعة. What happened and still happening in Algeria, what happened in Tunisia in the past, what happened in Egypt and other areas was done by those people. فاحذروهم. Be warned against them. يقال لهم حزب الإخوان. They are called حزب الإخوان, the party of brotherhood. They call themselves Muslim brotherhood. This is how they call themselves. Be warned against them. احتج سيد قطب لعقيدته الفاسدة بقول الله تبارك وتعالى ومن لم يحكم بما أنزل الله فأولئك هم الكافرون. سيد قطب to trick the people, or he misinterpreted the verse of Al-Quran. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. زعم أن معنى الآية أن الذي يحكم ولو في مسألة بغير حكم الشريعة صار كافرا بذلك. He claimed that, قال الحاكم المسلم إذا حكم ولو بمسألة بغير الشريعة صار كافرا. He claimed that the Muslim ruler, if he ruled even in one case with other than the rules of a shara' of the religion, he becomes a kafir by that, a blasphemer. This is how he interpreted this verse. معنى الآية ليس كما قال. The meaning of this verse is not like he said. صحابة النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام بيّنوا معناها. The companions of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام clarified the meaning of this verse. البراء بن عازب قال كان اليهود إذا زنى فيهم الشريف تركوه وإذا زنى فيهم الوضيع أقاموا عليه حد الرجم في أمر الزنا. فقالوا تعالوا نتفق على شيء نقيمه على الوضيع والشريف منا. فاتفقوا على الجلد والتحميم. اتفقوا أنه إذا زنى فيهم المحصن يجلدونه ويطوفون به بين الناس بعد تلطيخ وجهه بالفحم بالسواد. اتفقوا على هذا. قالوا نقيمه على الشريف والوضيع منا. One of the companions called Al-Bara ibn Azib said that in the past the Jews used not to fulfill okay, let me put it in another way. As you know, in the rules revealed to Prophet Musa, to Moses, alayhi salam, alayhi salatu wasalam, if a married person commits a zina, then he is punished by being stoned. Now, at one period of time, the Jews agreed together. So at one period of time they did not punish with that punishment those who had a high social rank among them, only those who had a low social rank. So after a period of time they agreed together and they said, let's come together and agree on something, on a punishment that we apply to all of us. So they agreed on lashing the one who commits that and taking him around with كيف الجملة كلها. And to taking him around after staining. After staining his face with charcoal. This is what they agreed upon. ثم في زمن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام ثم زنى منهم واحد فقالوا تعالوا نذهب إلى محمد نسأله إن أفتى بالجلد والتحميم كما نحن اتفقنا خذوا بكلامه وإن أفتى بغير ذلك فلا تأخذوا بكلامه. At the time of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, one of them committed this sin of az-zina. So they agreed to go and ask Prophet Muhammad about that. They said, if he tells you to punish him by lashing and taking him around after staining him with charcoal, take that. If he tells you other than that, do not take it. ذهبوا إلى النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. النبي قال لهم الحكم في التوراة موجود. أوحى الله إليه بالحكم الذي في التوراة. They went to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام and asked him. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم told them that the judgment is mentioned in the Torah. Allah revealed to him that this judgment is mentioned in the Torah. عند ذلك رفضوا كلام النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. Then they rejected, they refused what the Prophet said. فأنزل الله تعالى قوله ومن لم يحكم بما أنزل الله فأولئك هم الكافرون. It is then when this verse was revealed to mean that those who rejected to believe in you, Muhammad, those who perverted the revealed rules, they are the blasphemers. And it's not you and your followers. That's the meaning of the verse. So as you can see, its meaning is far away from what Sayyid Qutb claimed. Very much far away. هذا الحديث رواه مسلم. This is narrated by Muslim from Al-Bara ibn Azib, the companion of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. كذلك ابن عباس رضي الله عنه بين أن معنى الآية فسر الآية على غير تفسير سيد قطب وغيره أيضا ابن عباس and others they clarified that the verse has a meaning other than they gave a meaning other than what سيد قطب later tried to attribute to this verse. الخلاصة أن الصحابة والتابعين وأتباع التابعين وتبع الأتباع وتبع التبع إلى أيامنا كلهم متفقون أن الآية ليس معناها كما ذكر سيد قطب. In brief, the companions, the followers of the companions, the followers of the followers, and so on up till nowadays, all of them are in agreement that the verse does not mean what سيد قطب claimed. لكن هؤلاء أتباعه الله أعمى قلوبهم واتخذوا ذلك بابا تفسير الفاسد للآية بابا للقتل والتدمير والإفساد للقتل والتدمير والإفساد. The followers of سيد قطب do not want to listen. They took this as a way for them to kill, to destroy, to make tribulations. May Allah protect the nation of Prophet Muhammad from their harm. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. في الماضي كان يوجد فرقة يقال لها البيهسية من الخوارج، سبق سيد قطب إلى هذه الكلمة، فرقة صغيرة من الخوارج يقال لها البيهسية. انقرضت هذه زمان، ثم جاء هو فأحيا مقالتها. Long time ago, a very small faction. طيب اللي بدك يا حاش. Among الخوارج had the same claim that Sayyid Qutb said. But this faction is called Al-Bayhasiyya. They extinguished. They remained for a short period of time with a small number, and then they extinguished. Until Sayyid Qutb appeared and revived the ill saying. Subhanallah. Long time ago, when I first started learning with Sheikh Abdullah, of course he warned us against those people. Since the beginning, when he first read about what Sayyid Qutb said, he was immediately alert, and he started warning the people long time ago, before a lot of people could even notice the danger that such claims present. More than 40 years ago, he started warning against those sayings. Anyway, when I started learning with him, he warned us against this saying. So one day I entered a mosque, and I saw on the shelves the book of Sayyid Qutb. So I addressed the person who was in charge in the mosque. I told him, this book has bad sayings in it. You shouldn't leave it there. Surprisingly, he was one of the followers of Sayyid Qutb. And he was the imam of that mosque. So he tried to talk, and I presented the proofs. One proof after another, what Ibn Abbas said, what Al-Bara Ibn Azib said, what this interpreter said, what that interpreter said, etc. And it did not make any difference for him at all. All what he had to say is, Sayyid Qutb said this. Told him, from where did he get it? He did not have any answer. Sayyid Qutb said this. Subhanallah. Allah yarhamuna. قال المؤلف رحمه الله والندب والنياحة. The author said, to wail and to lament the good attributes of the deceased, as if the latter is hearing. من محرمات اللسان الندب والنياحة. وهذه من الكبائر. Among the sins of the tongue, the enormous sins of the tongue, is what they call is to wail and to lament the good attributes of the dead person. النَّدَبُ معناه ذكر محاسن الميت برفع الصوت، وجبلاه وكهفاه وجبلاه، يعني كأنه يقول أنت الجبل الذي أنادي الجبل الذي كنت آوي إليه، وكهفاه أنادي الذي كان ينصرني، أو نحو ذلك. يعدد محاسن الميت كأنه يسمع. Wailing, هيدي wailing is to start mentioning the good attributes of the deceased as if he is hearing, as if you are talking to him with a high voice. You my supporter and the like. أما النياحة فمعناها أن يصيح الشخص على صورة الجزع لنزول مصيبة الموت. إذا فعل ذلك باختياره هذا حرام. Likewise, it is prohibited for one to start screaming as if he is out of patience, impatience, as if he is in panic because of the calamity of death. If he does that intentionally. Now, if he does it unintentionally, he cannot control oneself, then one is not sinful for that. But if he does it intentionally, this is haram. إنما ينبغي أن يكون الإنسان متحليا بالصبر عند نزول مصيبة الموت. What one should do is to be patient when someone close to him dies. Not to start screaming and tearing one's clothes. Hitting oneself, etc. قال المؤلف وكل قول يحث على محرم أو يفتر عن واجب. The author said to utter words which encourage one to do the unlawful or discourage one from doing the obligatory. يعني إذا تكلم الإنسان بأية كلمة بأي كلام يشجع شخصا على معصية فعليه معصية، وإذا تكلم بأي كلام يثبطه عن أداء الواجب فعليه معصية. لماذا تصلي الآن؟ فيما بعد ما أنت تقضي الصلوات في الليل لا تصلي الآن، خلينا نلعب الآن مثلا شو شطرنج مثلا، خلينا نلعب بعدين أنت تقضي الصلوات في الليل مثلا هذه التي فاتتك، أو الآن تريد أن تذهب لحضور الدرس غدا تحصله، لا تذهب لحضور الدرس ويكون الشخص ما تعلم الفرض العيني يحتاج أن يحضر. وهكذا مثل هذا الكلام محرم في شرع الله تعالى. Any statement that encourages someone to do a sin or discourages someone from fulfilling the obligation is sinful. Like, for example, we are playing chess now. Don't leave Don't go pray. You will make it up tonight. You will make the prayer tonight. Don't pray. Or you will go to the class later, although the person up till now did not acquire the personal obligatory knowledge. So he tells him, you will go later. Tomorrow you will go. Leave outgoing. Now let's stay here hanging together, etc. Anything like that, any statement similar to this, is sinful. قال وكل كلام يقدح في الدين أو في أحد من الأنبياء أو في العلماء أو القرآن أو شيء من شعائر الله. The author said to utter words which defame Islam, any prophet, the scholars, the Quran, or any of the rites of Allah. Rites are rites, as we said. يعني إذا تكلم الإنسان بقول فيه ذم لدين الإسلام أو لنبي من الأنبياء أو لكل العلماء أو للقرآن أو لشعيرة من شعائر الله فقد وقع في المعصية التي هي كفر والعياذ بالله تعالى. في هذه الحال هي معصية من معاصي اللسان وهي كفر. If one says anything despraising the religion of Islam, any prophet, all the scholars, Al-Quran, or any one among the rites of Allah, then one is committing a sin of the tongue, which is in this case blasphemy. In this case, it would be a blasphemous sin. مثلا إذا ذم الصلاة أو الزكاة أو الحج أو الأذان, like if someone dispraises the prayer, paying الزكاة, calling الأذان, for the woman to cover wearing the scarf, covering the unlawful nakedness, anything like that is a sinful statement that reaches the level of blasphemy in this case. طيب نقف هنا. Let us stop here for now. إن كان لأحد سؤال فليتفضل. If you have any questions, go ahead. ما شاء الله. بارك الله فيك. كرمك الله يا بهاء. أحسن الله إليك. ما شاء الله. I noticed since yesterday. Did you notice like me? What? Eh? أيوة, at the last session, no questions. Almost there are no questions. Most of the questions after the second class. Most of them. After the last class, no questions. Just let us go. Allah yubarik fiikum. طيب خلونا نهل. نعم تفضل. من روى ذلك قال ليس الذي تذهبون إليه الكفر المخرج من الملة إنما هو كفر دون كفر. هكذا قال عبد الله بن عباس. معناه ذنب كبير ليس كفرا. What is the judgment of? I cannot see the relation. Okay, you'll. Do you mind explaining to me later so I understand exactly what you are referring to? Inshallah. Tafaddal. Haram. ينسب الولد إليه وهو ليس أبا. تفضل. الله بدك تعلي صوتك. You need to raise your voice. I cannot hear. ما شاء الله. ليس هذا المحرم. If someone does not believe that, if someone thinks that the rules revealed by Allah do not have any merit, they don't mean anything, then this is blasphemy. What do they say? If they swear by Allah while they are lying, then this is an enormous sin. If they are accountable, then if they are pubescent, then it's an enormous sin on their part. No, this is not kufr. This is not kufr. So, are you saying if the person feels that if he dies, then the one who is going to inherit the money is not going to manage the money in a so then what's the question? Is it permissible to do what? No. I tell you something, I do what I can do. Yani, how do I say it? And after I die, I want to also to be worried about what will happen with the money after I die. Yani, after dying, one would be concerned about other issues. إذا كان الشخص يصلي فظن أن الإمام رفع رأسه من السجود فرفع رأسه فوجد أن الإمام ما زال ساجدا هذا له الخيار إن شاء يرجع لمتابعة الإمام وإن شاء ينتظره قاعدا. If someone thinks that the Imam lift up his forehead from a sujood, so he lifts his forehead, he discovers that the Imam is still making a sujood. He has the choice either to follow the Imam again, go back to a sujood to follow the Imam, or to wait sitting for the Imam to sit. Can do either. هل يكون حراما إذا كان ما سمعك الموت من يعرف متى يموت بسأل إن شاء الله هاي شو حاجة صوتيت It is better for the woman to cover also her eyes. If you are asking what is better, if she covers also the eyes, it is better to cover also the eyes. Now, هو حسب الدين كيف إذا الدين مثلي ولا بالقيمة الزكاة بالأصل الزكاة كيف بدي أقول لك بتنحسب الزكاة بالأصل بيطلعوها بالذهب أو بالفضة هذه جاوبنا عليها طيب بارك الله فيكم نهلل تريد أن تسأل قل ماذا يقصد هذا ليس ظهارا لا لا If someone tells his wife, you are like my sister, he means by that in Islam, يعني, or something else. He does not mean, I do not have sexual intercourse. Like he does. Then this is not considered zihar. It is not considered zihar. Barakallah. Eh, Yahya. Bayna. ملاعنة يشبه القسم بلى بلى كيف لا إذا كانت كاذبة هو الحاكم يذكرها قبل ذلك أنه يعني أن لا تكذب وأن الفضيحة في الدنيا أهون من عذاب الآخرة يذكرها لكن بعد ذلك هي تفعل كيف لا Thank you. if he feels that his inheritance are not going to, they are going. So he's not worried about this issue. I'll review and get back to you, inshallah. Barakallahu feekum. Khalluna nuhallil. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.